I want to go to the Word of the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless and anoint the message today, and just let God have His way here today. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come to You, Lord, and we ask You to pour out Your Spirit on this place today. Touch those that are here in the sanctuary to hear this message, and touch those literally by the thousands that will hear it as it goes around the world and goes through the counties here in this part of Southwest Virginia. Lord, we ask God that You change a life. Lord, You save a soul, reclaim a backslider, fill with the Holy Ghost, heal, deliver, and set free in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to minister on a thought, what shall the end be? Amen. I heard a guy telling today about a guy got a paper, and I kind of liked it. He was telling one of the messages that we done live out of the studio this morning, and he was telling the message of how, in his message, how this guy got a paper that was dated a year ahead, and he got so excited about getting that paper. So his idea was he went to the stock market page, and he looked up all, and he knowed what the stocks was going to do. So he said, I'll get online, I'll get to call somebody, and I can make a fortune off of this. And he was just jumping up and down. But as he turned through the pages, he come to the obituary. And guess what? In that newspaper that was a year in advance, his obituary was on that page. Well, he really got upset then, and he kind of didn't worry too much about what the stock market was doing. He began to take note on the fact, well, a year from now, this paper says I'm going to be gone because my obituary's in it. And it was a cute little story, and I liked it. I appreciate the minister that used it, and I'm sure he don't mind me borrowing it. And but, you know, he's seen what his end was. Amen. If you could today see what your end was, it would change a lot of things. Amen. One guy said, he said, listen, I want to know where I'm going to go and where I'm going to be when I die. And somebody said, why you want to know that? He said, well, if I knew, I just won't go there. Well, it don't work that way. I'm sorry. It don't work that way. It's appointed a man wants to die and then the judgment. Amen. And we, you know, we have to just leave it at that. We can't know the hour, the day, or the time. I've had people tell me that God showed them when they're going to die. And the guy, he said he was going to die. One guy said he was going to die at a certain time. And it's been 7-8 years and he's still alive. And I was talking to him the other day and had prayer with him, and I reminded him, I said, you've outrun your own speech. I said, you told years ago when you thought you was going to die, and you've outrun it by a good number of years. Well, only God knows, and life, it's up to God. Amen. But we can control this part of it. We can control what we choose, and we can control what the end is going to be for us. Amen. Not when it's going to be, but what it's going to be. Amen. Now, I would not have time to cover all the aspects of it. And I have to say this message today probably will cover more of the what's going to happen to the ones that don't choose to do it God's way. There's going to be an end for all. The Bible said, hear the whole conclusion, the whole matter in Ecclesiastes. He's going to bring everything into judgment. Amen. Everything upon the face of this earth is going to be brought into judgment. And they're going to give account where it's righteous, where it's unrighteous, the sinner, the wicked, and all. There shall be an end for all. It's coming. But in Romans, in the 6th chapter, in verse 21 through verse 23, what fruit have ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Naturally, he's talking about sin. Amen. The end of sin is death. Amen. Verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, to have your fruits unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. He says simply, you got a right to choose. Amen. You can make a choice, it's up to you what you choose and how you choose. And that you can make a choice. And he said, if you choose the fruits of sin and from the fruits of unrighteousness, then that is going to merit death. But if you choose righteousness and holiness, this is going to be an end of everlasting life. In verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I choose life. Amen. I believe everybody in the sound of my voice today, amen, would say, I choose life. Amen. Glory to God. And he was the good shepherd, and he give life, and he give life more abundantly according to the word of God. Then in Romans in the 13th chapter, verse 11, and that knowing the time is now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Any way you turn this thing, when I really got on fire for the Lord in my earlier days, they was having, back in those days, Key 73 and all the, everything was coming together in the late 60s there into the early 70s. And there was all the movement taking forth and coffee houses breaking out all over the country. We opened up a coffee house and had over 1,000 souls saved in that coffee house. Literally, the power of God moved. We took a group called the Saints and toured a lot of the eastern United States, and we declared the gospel and preached and went to church after church and seen them saved literally by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and we rejoiced in that. If it was close then, how much closer is it today? Amen. All right, now the Bible says in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in riotousness and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. A lot of people live their whole life just making provisions to satisfy their lust, to satisfy their wants, to satisfy just making provisions for the flesh. What was the man tell the story about? He would, you know, tear down and build greater barn. But that night was acquired to him his soul. And the Bible says, what will we give in exchange? So many people spend their whole life making just provisions for what they want and the enjoyment of the flesh. Amen. I've spent my whole life trying to build the kingdom of God and trying to build the household of God. And here at this time, as we purchase in this worship center, and I look around and I see all the things that we plan to do, the Lord calls, amen, and the rapture takes place before we get them done, so be it. But thank God we got a vision, because without a vision, amen, you'll perish. I'd rather have a small number and have a vision than have multitudes, amen, and have them in balconies and have literally thousands, but have no vision and have no insight. We have a vision that stretches around the world, and it works daily. It's not something that just, amen, hit and miss. But it's working on a daily basis. The Lord is so good to us. Thank God that we have a vision and we're not just making preparations for the flesh. Amen. I'm not worried about retirement. I've took the money out of my retirement fund and give it to the ministry half a dozen times. Amen. Somebody said, what are you going to do when you retire? Same thing I did when I didn't retire. Amen. I'm going to live by faith. Amen. Can't ever go broke if you live by faith. Amen. Glory to God. I tell my banker all the time, I said, listen, I go the way of faith. Amen. She told me the other day, she said, we got this thing about down to the end to take care of. And what balance we need on this thing is very minimal compared to what it's worth. Amen. And I said, I simply don't think the bank would turn it down. She said, well, we might have should have found this out to start with. I said, why would I want to know? Amen. Why would I want to know? Amen. I didn't need the money then. I'll wait till I need the money. And faith tells me it'll be there in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. We're shouting the victory. Amen. For the blessings of God. 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter in verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Amen. Now, I got to say a little something about that. We got a lot of folks that claiming they can live any way they want to, and works don't have nothing to do with it. Amen. The Bible tells me, according to the Word of God in Revelation, the 20th chapter, they're going to be judged out of the book of life according to the works. Amen. I think it has something to do with it. Here he said that we're going to be rewarded according to our work. I'm going to do this thing for the cause. I'm going to do it for the souls. Amen. And when we get over there, I'm going to sit down and rest a little while. But while I'm here, I'm going to work while we have the light of day, because there's a darkness coming when no man can work. Amen. Then in Philippians, amen, in the 3rd chapter and in verse 16, I find these words, 3rd and 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Whatever we did to get saved, to pray through, we need to stay in that framework. Amen. If it was wrong to drink and partake of the filth of the world when we got saved and God cleanses and washes us, then don't go back to it. Don't return back to the weak and beggarly elements. Amen. But stay true. Amen. Mind the same rule. Amen. And mind the same thing. Brethren, verse 17, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Amen. The disciples was an example. Amen. And we as ministers are to be an example, and you as Christians are to be an example. A lot of time we're all a God that some folks ever see. Amen. Verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they, amen, are the enemies of the cross. I'd hate to think that I was the enemy of the cross. We're living in a country that's took God out of it. The churches have took God out. But I'm going to tell you, if our experience does not have virgin birth in it, it's no experience. If it does not have the death, burial, and resurrection, it is no experience. It has to have the cross. Amen. It has to have the resurrection. If he couldn't have got up, if he couldn't have, amen, done what he said he'd done, then it would all be in vain. But thank God. Amen. Thank God we're not enemies of the cross. Whose end is destruction. Now, what is their end? Those that are enemies of the cross, their end is destruction. Whose God is their end? Let me back up. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Ooh, me. Be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life eternal. Amen. I'm telling you here, it says, amen, that if we are earthly minded, our end is going to be destruction. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be formed like unto the glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Everything is going to be brought under subjection to him. I think I just said in the message just some time back here how that all the elements of this earth is going to be burned up by fervent heat. God's going to do away with all man's work. He's going to get rid of every bit of it. Amen. He's going to do away with it. And then Hebrews. In Hebrews 6, chapter in verse 8, bearing, goes on to say, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burnt. He's talking, he's in likening the briars and the thorns and the thistles. He's then likening that the wicked, amen, their end is to be burnt. What good is some old briars and some old, if you go out here and, clean up, we're talking about out the bank out here, me and Brother Jim, we're talking up here, we're going to clean off that thing and get rid of all the brush and the briars and all that stuff, and it won't be fit for nothing but to burn. God says the wicked, their end is same as the briars. Amen. Fit for nothing, and they're going to be burned. Amen. We press on into 1 Peter in the 4th chapter and in verse 17, verse 18. And I might have should have read this for a text, but I've got about 11 scriptures for a text. And this one just happened to hit in order as I come down it. Amen. Instead of starting with it. But it tells us pretty plain in the 4th chapter in verse 17 and in verse 18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And when it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You know, the Bible said you did run well, but what hindered you? What made you stop obeying the voice of God? When we stop obeying the voice of God, we stop obeying the word of God, then we choose our end. Amen. And here's what it says. And if, amen, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Amen. What's going to be the end of those that obey not the gospel? We've read it verse after verse and chapter after chapter. It's going to be destruction. Then in Revelations in 21, in verse 8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What's the end of the wicked going to be? The second death. Amen. Then we're going to go over into the Old Testament, and we go into Proverbs in chapter, in chapter 14 and in verse 12. Here it talks about an end again. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Make sure the way you choose is not a seem right way. I've heard people say, well, I can sin all I want to. I'm all right. That's a seem right way. I've heard people say, well, I don't have to live by the book. I know God, grace has saved me. I know I'm just an old sinner, and it makes no difference because grace has saved me. And I know I'm going to be all right. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you don't go to the altar, if you don't go to Calvary's flow of crimson blood, and if you don't get your heart to the point you repent of your sins and say, Lord, I can't do this thing on my own. I can't make this thing on my own. I can't live this thing without you. I can't walk. The songwriter said, I won't walk. I won't talk without Jesus. I won't make another step without Jesus. We need the Lord. We need the hand of the Lord. We need him moving in our life. And if we don't have him moving in our life, the end is going to be destruction. Amen. But make sure the way you choose is not a seem right way, because the end of the seem right way, that is death also. Amen. Then in Proverbs, and let's see, I got Proverbs. I want to look at Psalms. Amen. I thought I had two scriptures in Proverbs, but I got two in Psalms. Amen. I want to look in Psalms. In chapter 37, focusing on 38 and 39, and then bouncing back to get a thought out of 37. Amen. Psalms 37 in verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. What will be their end? The wicked shall be cut off. But the righteous, here's what the other side of the coin is. But the righteous of the Lord, amen. He goes on to explain, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Back in verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. What you want? You want to be cut off, or you want victory and peace? Amen. In the Lord there's peace, those that trust in him. But the wicked are going to be cut off according to this section of scripture. Then we look in Psalm 73, and we could have stayed there for the whole message, but it's that in depth of understanding, but we'll just touch on it for a minute. I mentioned this many times. The Bible says in Psalm 73, in verse 2, but as for me, my foot were almost gone, my steps had well thy slipped. Sometimes we look at our world around us, and we look at the turmoil, we look at things. You know, there's a lot of things we can't do nothing about. Amen. But I tell you one thing we can do. We can turn them over to the Lord. Amen. We can turn them to the Lord. There's a lot of things, amen. Man, I'd worry myself, amen, I'd worry myself plumb in the ground. You got to know when to hold. You got to know when to fold. You got to know when the situation is something you can't do nothing about, and you throw up your hands and say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you to come and move for me. I can't fight this fight alone. I can't carry this cross by myself. Lord, I need you to come. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Somehow or another, after you put it in God's hand, he'd just take care of himself. Amen? He'd just take care of himself. I got a lot of things on my plate right now. Ain't nothing I can do about. I don't know what to do about. Amen? But I know one thing. I've got a plan. Amen? But I got enough sense not try to activate my plan till I get God's blessing on it. Amen? You can have all the plans in the world. But buddy, they'd be about as messed up as that tile me and Dale was looking at down there in that building the other day. Some architect drawed that thing and that was a mess. I'd hate to think I built that building and some architect designed something that I put in it as dumb as that was. I mean, they had some of the most beautiful tile in the building there was. But the way they put it in it was stupidity done gone to seed. Amen. That's what happens when people, amen. But things that I've got around me and things I've got to do that will work out perfectly if I wait upon the Lord and if I seek the Lord's instruction, there'll be a bigger mess than that tile was. And it was a mess. I mean, it was a mess. We sit there and laughed at it. I laugh at stuff a lot of times. I said, when I built buildings, I couldn't get by with that. We tried to do it right. And the best you can do, you still look back out and a lot of things you like done a lot better. But I'm telling you, if you put it in the Lord's hand. But here the psalmist, he said, my foot had almost thy slip. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And you study this out, and he talks about the wicked and the hypocrite. I'm going to tell you something. The wicked and hypocrites probably going to drive a better car than you do, probably live in a better house than you do. They're probably going to have more in their church, amen, and their preacher, they're probably going to preach to more people. But they're going to die and go to the devil's hell because the end of the wicked is hell. And that's plain, but that's the way the word is, amen. The psalmist, man, he said this thing was too painful. Listen to him. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offer against the generation of thy children. In verse 15 of that Psalm 73. Verse 17. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. There's a lot of things I see about the hypocrite and the wicked that, man, it's too painful for me to think about. And I like what God told me years ago. This preacher I know, and he's still a rotten preacher this day. He's down in North Carolina. But he was, I had a feeling that he was sleeping women he wasn't married to. And I never actually caught him. But I got a good friend, went to his church, and he said I'd give him thousands and tens of thousands of dollars and help the scandal. But he said one day, amen, we caught him. have an affair with somebody else's wife. He's still got a ministry down there, still appears to be doing good. But he's a whoremonger, and he'll have his part in the eternal lake of fire. That man done dirt against my ministry one time, and I kind of got upset about it, and the Lord told me, said, don't look that way no more. He said, the ministry I've give you is full time, and you don't have to look that way. You don't have nothing to do with that man. I'm going to take care of him. His end's going to be up to me. And he's still doing his little show. Amen. That other big old church down there, and they got up to about 300 and some, and everybody said, "Bull man, oohing and ahhing over it," and they thought it was the greatest thing ever was. This one lady I know, she told me, she said, "Brother Goat, I had a gut feeling about it." Come to find out, the preacher was caught sleeping with two men in the church, and he wasn't a she, he was a he. Amen. That's the mess of it. But it's too painful to think about all this thing you see. But understand, here's the key to it. Verse 17, and I always loved the Hammond organ. God gave me a daughter that could play it, and she chose not to. God gave me a son-in-law at that hour that could, and God chose to take him home. We still got the Hammond organ I bought him. One goes in a road case. I'd love to pray down somebody that had to give and put somebody back on our team that could play them old-time Hammond organs. But I used to say amen, and we'd romp down on that Hammond organ, and them Leslies would go to whirling, amen. And I'd say, when David heard the sound of that old Hammond coming up the road, amen, he knew. I'm telling you something. When I hear the piano and I hear the instruments, when I hear the singing in Zion, it comes to me perfectly. And I know what the end of the wicked's going to be. Amen. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Amen. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down unto destruction. The wicked, the hypocrite, are on slippery places, and they're going to be cast down, the Bible says, to destruction. Then I want to go one more scripture. I want to go over in Thessalonians, and I want to find a section of scripture there in Thessalonians. Take me just a minute to find it. In 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, right in the first chapter, then we find it in verse 7 down through verse 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Then the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven and his mighty angels. Verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, in hell there won't be no light. There won't be a light in hell. Do you know God is light? And the worst thing about hell, when you're separated from God, you'll be cut off from light. And you would be cut off from his power and his presence. I'm telling you something today. What shall the end of the wicked be? And those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be cut off. They shall be put in destruction, and they shall spend their eternity in hell. We need to choose the righteousness of God. We need to choose to be obedient children. We need to choose to walk in the fullness of his counsel. That's the best thing I can say for you.